Well, I guess we've kind of already started our teaching for today in the sharing time with everyone sharing their struggles in abiding. And that the section that Ladee read from the C.S. Lewis Mere Christianity on that was I read that book a long time ago. I do not remember that part of it. That was a good description of abiding. That this Christian life is not easy. And the description there of when the first thing when you open your eyes in the morning and you get this flood of responsibilities and desires and thoughts and direction, and you have to push it all back and get your focus on God and rely on Him and stay there throughout the day. And His encouragement too, that this does not happen instantly. It does not happen instantly. No more than an example used that an egg can fly. But there has to be growth and continuing. But yet, if we don't continue in that, then the egg goes bad. And we can't just maintain the status quo. There's a big pretend going out there, going on in the church. Because if people are not growing and abiding in Christ and presenting Him, then you got to wonder, is it real? So we want to be careful. We have to take this next step. And I believe this is where God has us. A living union with Christ all day long. Yielding to His influence and practicing His presence. We talked about this last week, a quick review. Not always necessarily in conversation, but yet ready for spontaneous prayer throughout the day. And not being confused about this abiding, that it is grounded, it comes out of the Word. That our foundation for teaching on abiding goes back to the gospel, goes back to the cross, being identified with Christ, goes back to the purpose of reconciliation to God, a relationship, and goes back to what the way He designed us in dependence on Him. And a lot of you shared the extreme weakness you felt of your failure at abiding. And it just shows us all the more. And we want to be careful with this failure, that we want to acknowledge that. If we're failing at something like that, we want to acknowledge it. Oh, I messed up again. But yet, not to get focused on our weakness. Because it's our weakness that should point us to His strength. It should make us all the more desire to rely on Him. And so we have to be careful to not go that downward spiral. And I hope it encourages you to hear that we all struggle with this. It seems like, the one day that for me, that the day that seemed to be the best for me was the day that we were to make it our main battle to abide in Christ that day. Make it your main battle. And so, for some reason, that one struck me. And as I was late, heading out to go somewhere, take Caleb to school, I was running late. Now, that's my own fault. I don't need to make any excuses for that. You have to make changes in the way you do things. But still, at that point, there was nothing I could do about it. I was late. So, my normal response to that would be kind of an intensity to get there. Hopefully not speeding and driving recklessly, but an intensity. Trying to will the lights green. Silly, but in a sense, that's what I'm trying to do. And so instead of wasting my time willing the lights green on the way, I said, nope. This is not my battle to fight. I've already made the mistake. I repent of that. I made the mistake. But now, my battle to fight is to abide in Christ. So I'm going to abide in Christ for this 10 minutes or whatever that it takes. And what a difference. What a difference that made to not fight that battle. And that was obvious. That was an easy one. That was a battle I could never win. Or didn't even look like I could win it. So, but yet, I still would tend to go that direction. So, now, some, it seems like at the end of the day, I could look back and think every time the hour passed, I had some conversation with God. I connected with Him. And then some days it was like, man, I didn't hear my watch beep all day, It was, some days were better than others. But He is patient with us. This is the trail, the path He wants us on. It really is. It's not easy. It's not. There's a struggle there. But if we're willing to go through that struggle, there's this thing of Surrender can be immediate. We can have immediate surrender. Now, the real changes in our life and the growth and those things can take time. That just like we were talking about this morning. One reason that abiding can be uncomfortable is the aspect of dealing with sin beyond the superficial level. That we look a little deeper into ourselves and we discover some more sin there that we weren't aware of. And we don't like to see that. So it can make us uncomfortable because we discover some unknown sin, and we should not panic over this. We should just simply repent. And we don't have to go digging through the garbage, so to speak, to find our sin. God is faithful. Particularly if we're on this road of abiding, He will reveal to us our sin. We don't have to question and doubt ourselves and feel this enormous all over guilt. We can just abide in Him. And He will convict us of sin. And He'll be specific. Okay. Part B there. On your outline. Here's something that is critical to understand about abiding. There's a balance here. But God Himself will establish us in Christ. Now we're admonished over and over again throughout the Scripture to be alert. To be alert, to continue in Him, to make sure of our calling, and to continue to the end and finish strong. You know, there's something I have discovered, and something repeated a few times, is that it's possible to live a Christian life and then get down to the end of the last few years of your life and you turn away. And you no longer, you mess it up. There's no reward. You mess it up because of not being alert and turning to live for self in our later years and be ashamed at meeting Him. Not losing your salvation, but ashamed at meeting Him. And so, our admonition is continue strong to the end. And the only way that we will do that is if we, day by day, one day at a time, one moment at a time, abide in Him, and He will keep us. It's not like we have to hang on to Him. He will hang on to us. But we just make ourselves available to Him. We submit our will to His. He will hang on to us and keep us abiding. Let's go to 1 John 1:28. 2:28. So did I write that wrong in your outline? Does it say 1:28? Okay. 2:28. And now, dear children, continue in Him so that when He appears, we may be confident and unashamed before Him at His coming. Yet, all of the effort, self-effort in the world cannot keep us abiding. It must be an alertness to rely fully on Him. He will keep us and He will establish us in Him. This is not beyond you. This is not for some special class of Christians, this abiding. This is for all of us. Let's go to a few more verses here. 1 Corinthians 1:8 and 9. He will keep you strong to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God, who has called you into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, is faithful. He will keep you to the end. And 2 Corinthians 1:21. Now it is God who makes us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us and set His seal of ownership on us and put His Spirit in our hearts as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. And one more there, Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this, that He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Think about it kind of like this. I may have used this example before, I don't know, or something similar. But you're walking down a trail, a path, and you come to a fork in the trail. One trail, one part goes up, looks kind of rugged and steep and a bit scary. And the other fork of the trail is smooth and a natural choice. But Jesus is headed up the steep trail, and he beckons you to follow. He speaks of grand views and difficult terrain. Yet he promises to get you through and to never forsake you. The other trail is appealing, but he's not on that trail. And you run into these forks in the road, in the trail, every single day, all day long. One is a natural following of the flesh, if you would. The other is to follow Jesus. And you run through these forks of the road throughout your life and every day of your life. You don't have to have strength and skill to walk with Jesus. But you do have to choose His path and trust Him and Him alone to get you through. Now, this illustrates, I think, His promise to keep us and to establish us. But we have to stay on the trail with Him. He will establish us. He will keep us. His admonishment is for us to continue in Him and to make our election sure. There is a temptation to just stroll along in our own strength, kind of in your own world. Just to stroll along in your own world. It's a little easier, if you would. And you don't have to take those forks that look difficult and strenuous. But the key is that we walk with Him. You know, maybe even especially when the trail is flat and easy, and we never even notice that the trail forked and He headed up a different direction, and we went our own way apart from Him. He says, remain in me, abide in me, continue in me, follow in me, take up your cross and follow me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And all of a sudden, we start to feel these warnings of anxiousness. The trail may look clear to us, but we feel a vague feeling of being lost. Just something's missing. The trail's fine. We seem to be doing fine. But we don't even notice that we quit walking with Him. He headed off a different direction. And we were not abiding in Him. We were not in contact with Him. And we just went our own way in our own strength. So when we realize and recognize that we are not with Him, our tendency is to put our head down and keep going that same direction. But if we'll stop, we can immediately be back walking with Him. He will keep us in Him. We just have to walk with Him. Just abide in Him. And He does this moment by moment. And here again, this is the direction we're headed in. Don't beat yourself up if this is not a description of you right now. But this is where we are headed, a moment by moment with Him. Let's go to a few verses in Isaiah here. Verse 3 of chapter 26. You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. Verse 9. My soul yearns for you in the night. In the morning my spirit longs for you. Verse 12. Lord, you established peace for us. All that we have accomplished you have done for us. In verses 2 and 3. In that day, sing about a fruitful vineyard. I, the Lord, will watch over it. I water it continually. I guard it day and night so that no one may harm. And then that quote from Andrew Murray there. Live your daily life in full consciousness of being righteous in God's sight, an object of delight and pleasure in Him. And we talked about this last week, that He has given us His righteousness. To walk with Him is not a strain on Him. It is a joy and a pleasure to Him because He accepts us fully because we are righteous. He's given us His righteousness. So He desires us. We can be in His presence. And a consistent, fruitful vineyard that we looked at, here's our example, happens only when we are consistently abiding in the vine. This is the only way we will have. We fool ourselves when we're not abiding. We talk ourselves into thinking we're growing and we're producing fruit. And we may be learning some lessons in life and becoming more socially mature. But are we looking more like Jesus, really? Bearing true fruit. The only way this is going to happen, I hope you're discovering this, is in discovering it through failure in abiding. That the wake-up call, the only way this life is really going to be what it should be, is if I'm walking in dependence on Him. A consistent, fruitful vineyard. How can we have this moment-by-moment consistency in abiding? You know, it doesn't have to be always directly in the front of your mind. A mother can love her children while she's engaged otherwise. She may be doing something else completely apart from her children, yet there still can be that essence, if you would, the aroma of love that she has for her family. Yet, she's not directly engaged with that. A father that loves his family and has to go off and labor and do something somewhere else to earn a living or to fight a war, that he doesn't, because he's engaged in something else, he doesn't lose his love for his family. And when there's a free moment, his thoughts will go back to them. Or it may even make his work more meaningful. That this is, he's doing this for the purpose of supporting and caring for his family. We can learn to have a secret consciousness that we are in Christ and we are kept by His power. But it falls back to our heart and our attitude. This must be the only life we choose and pursue. A life of abiding in Christ. Think, what if in a body, the older Christians in the body, older, I mean, you know, you've been walking with the Lord a few years. Baby Christians, or new Christians that just came to know the Lord. And the older Christians in the body were able to say to the struggling new believer, victory is possible. And what if the new believer was able to enter an environment of healthy faith and joyful commitment of a group of people that are abiding in Christ? Have you heard? I don't know if I want to quote this particular thing, but it fits. That it takes a whole village to raise a child. Sorry, Josh. Well, it takes a whole body of believers abiding in Christ to truly disciple a new believer. One person does not do that. That's not just a one-on-one type of thing. It takes a whole body. And the job is not done in the way that it needs to be done unless there's a body of believers with each part doing its part. I mean, really doing its part. Not just having jobs, but I mean doing its part by abiding in Christ. That's how we do our part. That we are reflecting Christ. Not an atmosphere, a sickly atmosphere, if you would, of entertainment or legalism or a worldly self-focus, but a real environment of Christ-likeness, abiding in Christ. And I think this next section could be key to how we do it. This section has impacted me as I have already been trying to put this into practice. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 6:2. For he says, in the time of my favor I heard you, and in the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. There's a philosophy there, if you would, that we can pick up on. A way of thinking of Jesus. That now is the time. I mean, right now is the time. One day of abiding can lead to a life well lived. Because we only have one day. We have one day ahead of us. So one day spent abiding, and the next day, leads to a life well lived. And I do want to get to the end of my life and have a life well lived. I really do. And I want to walk in to His presence. And I know I say this all the time, but it's on my mind. Well done, good and faithful servant. come into the Master's joy. I do want to hear that. And this is the way, is one day at a time of abiding in Him. A life of storing up treasure in heaven. A life of representing Jesus. Notice it's not necessarily in the world's eyes a life of doing all these great things. Now there may be doors open that you can do great things. But those are not the things we're judged by. The things we're judged by is, have we been faithful? Have we walked through the doors that He opened? Have we presented Christ? Have we been in fellowship with Him? Have we walked down the trail with Him and gone the direction that He was going in? The secret of abiding is to do it today. Do it now. To do it now. We cannot store up enough manna for tomorrow or for the rest of our life. We are only promised today. We are promised the sustenance for today. The work of the moment is to give Him unreserved supremacy. That's the work of the moment. When that flashes in your mind during the day, is to submit to Him, give Him supremacy in your life. And it's do it now. Abide in Him now. However unprepared you might be, this kind of surrender is the work of the moment. Now, it may take some understanding like we went through, and we'll revisit that surrender sheet that we went through, that was your first day of abiding. And that takes some understanding. Yet, surrender of your will to His happens at the moment where you submit to Him. I abide in you now. Now, it can take time, as we said earlier, for Him to assert His power in our lives, to order all within you according to His will, to tear down the high places, to train all your powers for His service, to give you an orderly life, a disciplined life, and all those things, to learn the Word better. Those things take time. But the moment, the time for abiding is in the moment. It's submission to Him right now. Those other things are not the work of the moment. They are a work of day after day after day. But the surrender of your will can be in surrendering yourself entirely to live only in Him. And I think it's possible that here lies the explanation of a rampant lack of consistent true fruit and maturity in the body of Christ today. A lack of abiding in Him now. There's all sorts of things that we learn and we try to do and, you know, with our families and with our relationships and all these things. But this is missing. When is the last time you heard anything about this? You abide in Him now. In this moment. You submit your will to Him. And you walk with Him in the moment. Right now. Now, another reason for a lack of fruit in the body of Christ, this is another topic. So, I won't stay here long. Is that the body is possibly full of non-believers. When you see a huge lack of fruit, and you see worldliness, then you have to say, well, you know, maybe there's just a lot of non-believers in the body. And that's not a good thing either. It comes from a lack of preaching the cross. Back to our topic. Surrender yourself to live only in Him. As time goes by, your faith will become stronger. It becomes stronger because you see how weak you are. Does that make sense? Your faith becomes stronger because you see how weak you are. You didn't just read it in a book. You felt it to the bottom of your soul. You felt it. Failure. That's how you know you're weak. And then you turn to Him and you rely on Him. Your faith becomes stronger. But it takes the practice of abiding in Him now. Not the next hour, not tomorrow, but you abide in Him now. Because if you keep putting off the now, then you don't get to it. But if you make it your habit, your way of living, that you abide in Him now. You surrender yourself this moment to abide in Him wholly, always, only in Him. And every time you whisper to Him, Jesus, I abide in you now. It's met with, as Andrew Murray says, a hearty response from the unseen one. When you're driving along in your car, when you're dealing with the kids, when you're on the job, when you're in the middle of a conversation, and you whisper to him, I abide in you now, Jesus. He meets that with a hearty, big welcome. He greets you. He desires that. Finally, you understand. You're weak. You can't do it. The next word coming out of your mouth, you need to depend on me for. Do it now, throughout the day. Do it now. Do it today. That's His message to you. Today is the day of salvation. We look at that as something spoken to non-believers. He wasn't even writing that letter to non-believers. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day we're delivered from self, from sin, from the controls that we put ourselves under. Today is the day. Do it now. I abide in you now. Jesus, I submit my will to you. There He is. He welcomes you. Whether you feel it in your emotions or whether you don't, sometimes you will and sometimes you won't. But by faith, you abide in Him. Let's read a couple of verses here. John 14:26. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Philippians 3:7-9. Whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. I think I'll just read on a little bit there. Not that I have already attained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. What is the prize? To walk in Him, to abide in Him, to have intimacy and fellowship with Him, and to say like that Romanian pastor in jail, He is like me. He is like me. That's the goal. That's the prize. To be like Jesus. To walk with Him and to live as He lived. Abandoned to God.